T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Erie County Health Commissioner Dr. Gail Burstein joining us live this morning. First, Dr. Gail, where are we on the curve that we're all trying to flatten?
Well, unfortunately, we're just at the beginning of the curve. We know that we're a few weeks, like probably 2 to 4 weeks behind New York City's curve, and we know that they haven't reached their peak yet, so we still have a ways to go before we reach our peak. And hopefully, if we all continue with our social distancing or physical distancing and hand washing and staying away from people that are sick, and if you're sick, staying away from other people and keeping our environment clean, washing those frequently touched surfaces, that our curve will be lower than it would be otherwise if we didn't do any of these things. And that's really important. Like, everybody in the community needs to contribute. Every person's actions are important in this. Everybody contributes.
You keep hammering home that point. How important is it to keep reminding people about the social distancing and reminding people exactly what that means, that it's not, you know, necessarily, all right, we're staying away from big crowds, but we are going to the store maybe every other day just to get out of the house or something like that?
Right. So I think it is important to continue to remind people, because it involves a change in behavior. Because we're used to hanging out with, in crowds, going to the store, crowded stores, being in groups. And this is something that's causing us to and taking a radical change in behavior. But it's really important that we stay away from crowds. If people do go grocery shopping, which is essential travel, I admit that we all need food, that hopefully that people will go in off hours when the stores aren't as crowded, stay away from other people. We were hoping that grocery stores may be able to limit the number of people that are allowed in. Make sure when you go and use a cart, you wash off the handle of the cart that you're going to touch. And what we do in our house, so after we go grocery shopping, we wash off all the packages and containers with disinfectant, because other people have used that. So it's so that's a very important part of keeping those surfaces clean, because just because it came from a grocery store doesn't mean that other people haven't handled it. And also, it would also mean when you go out for a walk, like, don't go to a crowded park. You want to stay away from other people. You want to stay, remember, at least 6 feet away from other people. And when people think about, do I have to stay away from other people living in my home? Well, that's a decision that if you want to take the risk or not. However, if somebody in your home is sick, you definitely, definitely, definitely want to stay away from that person. That person should remain in their room. They should be brought food every day, and for all their meals. They should have access to their own bathroom, or keep their after they use each of the times they use the bathroom, they should clean it up before they leave, so the next person will have a safe, clean environment to use the bathroom. So those are all really important activities. So we just have to think about doing this for a few more weeks. And it's also to keep our community healthy, and also keep our healthcare workers healthy, because the more disease there is in our community, more our healthcare workers could potentially be exposed. And then there won't be anybody left to take care of us when we're sick.
You know, this brings up a question about masks, because we're seeing more and more people wearing them, whether it's at the store or just in general outside. How long should a mask be worn, and can they be sanitized and worn again?
We know that masks that are just regular, like surgical masks or procedure masks, can reduce your risk of infection, but it's not a complete prevention like N95 masks that are medically fit with and have a respirator attached to them that filters out the viruses and bacteria. So, you know, again, masks are a form of risk reduction, but they're not going to completely prevent infection. So, but that is, you know, that's a good idea to do if you're going out into a public place. You know, it's not going to hurt you, and it may also help you. So probably on the FDA's website, there is information on, how to, what mask to use and how to take care of a mask. I mean, ideally, they should only, and also actually CDC has information, I know, on how to use masks and how to reuse them. So ideally, they should only be worn once. And because of our limited supply, we're not really able to do that for many individuals. So I would suggest going to CDC's website and looking at what they advise about using and reusing masks.
I've seen more and more, especially over this weekend, of people writing about the benefits of everybody wearing a mask in public. I'm pretty sure that's not the current CDC guideline, though. But do you agree that that could help the problem if everybody wore a mask?
You know, again, if you're in a place where you're more than 6 feet away from somebody, and with our shortages of masks, that may not be the best use of resources. So remember, it's not just about, like, wearing a mask. It's about, keeping our social distancing and using the resources, the personal protective equipment resources that we do have available to us, very wisely. And so the other aspects of what we're asking for, these non-pharmaceutical interventions like washing your hands and staying away from other people more than 6 feet away, and especially when people are sick, they should stay away from other people, and keeping our environments clean. Those are all also very important interventions that we can use to help keep that curve down. So it's not just one or the other. It's looking at this collectively as this kind of cultural change in our community. So I mean, masks can be helpful, and it's just one part of the puzzle.
We're live with Dr. Gail Burstein, Erie County's Health Commissioner, this morning. And Dr. Gail, we're starting to hear about projections. Dr. Anthony Fauci is warning that the U.S. could have as many as 200,000 deaths linked to COVID-19. I mean, obviously, he hopes it's lower than that. What about Erie County? What are you bracing for?
Well, we know that we will see many deaths. We don't have exact numbers yet. I know that there are some are really smart scientists at UB that are calculating estimates, and so they're not quite there yet. They need some more of our local data, some more days of hospital admissions and ICU admissions and deaths to really plug in some numbers that will give us good estimates here. So we don't have those exact estimates yet, but we know that we are going to see deaths in our community and from COVID-19. And again, we have the opportunity to have an influence on those numbers. So if we all participate in these non-pharmaceutical interventions with social or physical distancing, good hand washing, cleaning up our environment, keeping our frequently touched surfaces clean, staying away from other people that are sick, and if we're sick, staying away from other people, that will influence the number of people infected, which will influence the number of people that die of COVID-19. So this is the time where we have to take action.
We see the numbers growing every day. How is the state of hospitals and healthcare providers right now? Are we nearing the point where workers are becoming overwhelmed at all?
Well, I know it is very stressful for our healthcare providers in the field, and I know that many hospitals are being very careful with providing all their healthcare workers with PPE, and some healthcare institutions now have adopted a policy where every healthcare worker is wearing a mask. I know that New York State has made a call for volunteers of people working in healthcare that have either recently retired or haven't really been actively working in the field to come and volunteer. And that information is on the New York State Health Department's website. And for each individual hospital, I think you would have to speak to that hospital about how they're addressing these surges.
Dr. Gale, we now have an all-COVID hospital, St. Joe's, and an all-COVID nursing home at Elderwood. How important is that in this fight?
Well, having isolated healthcare facilities for people that are COVID-19 positive, you know, is a strategy to try to reduce spread of infection within a healthcare facility, and also to be more efficient with personal protective equipment use. So we know that is a trend that healthcare facilities are trying to follow. You know, it's scanning again, identifying the space and being able to staff up the capacity is a challenge for all healthcare and in New York State and across the United States.
Well, we see the numbers growing in what you guys report every single day. Do you feel that, so that's what we know via testing, do you feel that it's likely the actual amount, including people who haven't been tested, is growing at maybe the same rate that we see the numbers being reported at?
Well, I think the better trend to look at is hospital admissions, because we know since we have limited testing, we have the numbers can't really be generalizable to the rest of the population. However, the number of hospital admissions and ICU admissions are, I think, important trends, because that denominator that's really reflective of our entire community, not just the select number of people that have been tested. So I think that's really a better trend to follow, and we have been following that with our healthcare facilities.
We know there's no treatment for this, but what are patients who are diagnosed with coronavirus taking for relief?
Well, right now it's basically symptomatic support, so taking Tylenol if somebody has a fever, making sure you get plenty of rest, drink fluids, make sure you keep your nutrition up, and if people feel that they need to be evaluated by a healthcare provider, they should call ahead, either call their primary care provider, or if they think they are becoming very sick and having some difficulty breathing and think they need to be seen with a hospital, if they choose to go by ambulance, when they call 911, they should inform the call taker that they either have or they're very suspicious that they have COVID-19, just so all these places can prepare for that individual coming in with possible COVID-19. If you call your primary care provider with concerns about your health and asking how to manage symptoms, many times it's just a phone call that can answer all your questions and you won't have to come in. So again, if you're going to access any type of healthcare facility, regardless if it's your primary care provider or an urgent care center or emergency department, call ahead, let them know that you're coming so that they can be prepared and have the appropriate personal protective equipment for their healthcare staff so that they'll stay protected and they'll usher you straight away into an exam room so you won't expose other people in the waiting room.
Are all healthcare providers on the same page right now when they would recommend you go to a hospital or actually physically go somewhere with these symptoms?
Well, I think since this is just basically symptomatic support at this point, because there is no FDA-approved treatment, I think it's just the basic tenets is someone is becoming ill, that they're having difficulty breathing, or they're having difficulty managing their fluids, and they need some outside support. I mean, that would be the case where a person would be referred to an emergency department for evaluation and possible admission.
Dr. Gale, how are you holding up?
Oh, thank you for asking. I'm okay. I'm working with a great team, and we have some great camaraderie here, and it's just it's so reassuring to see so many people working hard and really dedicated to keeping our county healthy. And so it's you know, I'm holding up okay. I have a lot of support here at work. I have a lot of support from my family. My husband's making, and my son are making me great meals, and so I'm well fed at night when I eventually return home. So it's okay.
That's always good to hear. Hey, Dr. Gale, thank you so much. That's Dr. Gale Burstein, Erie County Health Commissioner.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.